Welcome, Curious Minds, to another deep dive. Today, we're embarking on a journey to a really fascinating, maybe often overlooked corner of the tea world, Sabrugamuwa tea from Sri Lanka. We've really steeped ourselves in the best insights available on this exceptional tea, and we're excited to unpack it all for you. Yeah, our mission today is pretty straightforward. We want to extract the key nuggets of knowledge about Sabrugamuwa tea. We're going beyond just the taste, though. We want to explore its unique characteristics, the region it comes from, which is captivating in itself, and its broader cultural and historical side, too. So by the end of this deep dive, you should have a kind of shortcut to being genuinely well-informed about the specific high-quality tea, complete with some maybe surprising facts and context that make it really memorable. Okay, so let's set the scene a bit. Sabrugamuwa, it's actually Sri Lanka's largest tea-growing region, already known for producing some truly exceptional teas.
That's right. And geographically, it's nestled beautifully between two pretty significant natural landmarks. You've got the Sinaraja Forest Reserve to the south, and then the Adams Peak Wilderness area up to the north.
Okay.
And it's tea estates, they span quite a range in elevation. I mean, from basically sea level right up to 610 meters. That's about 2,000 feet. This region covers most of the western and southwestern faces of Sri Lanka's central mountains.
Yeah.
Think hilly terrain, lots of small valleys dotted throughout.
Wow. Okay. So with such a varied landscape, you know, from sea level right up to 2,000 feet, what does that actually do? How does that environment shape the tea in surprising ways?
Well, what's really fascinating here is how these diverse climatic influences really contribute to the unique flavors we find in the tea. It's quite something. The highest estates, right, the ones just below the Sinaraja Peak Wilderness Nature Reserves, they share these microclimatic conditions, things produced by the rainforests, the cloud forests, and these high grassy plains nearby. Oh. And this interplay, you know, heavy rainfall, that high altitude coolness, but also tropical humidity. Oh. It doesn't just make tea thrive. It specifically influences the tea's chemical makeup, particularly its polyphenol development.
Oh, okay.
And that results in a darker, richer brew. And you get those distinctive, subtle caramel notes, which are often, you know, much more muted in teas from maybe drier, more uniform climates.
Interesting. And the climate story in Sabrugamuwa gets even more complex, doesn't it? It's not just those super high rainfall areas. What about the weather influences from the nearby Uva climatic system? How does that affect the tea's character?
Yeah, good point. Other upper Sabrugamuwa states definitely feel those influences from the Uva system nearby. Uva teas are known for being quite distinctive, often kind of malty. So that adds another layer, another bit of complexity to Sabrugamuwa's profile. Mm. But the entire region overall, it's copiously watered by the southwest monsoon. So you get these climatic conditions that are pretty typical of a tropical rainforest, you know, hot and humid out in the open.
Yeah.
But then noticeably moist and cool where the tree cover is thick.
Okay, let's turn to the tea itself then. Sabrugamuwa is known for producing what are called low-grown teas. Mm-hmm. For anyone not familiar, what does that classification mean for the tea's character?
Well, low-grown just means these teas grow best at lower altitudes, typically below about 600 meters. And this altitude, combined with the region's tropical rainforest climate, it contributes to a stronger, often darker brew compared to high-grown teas.
Okay, stronger and darker.
Yeah. In terms of appearance, Sabrugamuwa tea gives you this dark yellow-brown liquor that's the brewed tea itself with a noticeable reddish tint. And crucially, it has this really alluring aroma. It delicately hints at sweet caramel notes.
Caramel.
Its liquor actually mirrors that of Ruhuna teas quite closely. Ruhuna teas are also from low-grown areas in Sri Lanka, known for being robust, full-bodied, and often having similar sweet undertones. So it's a natural comparison, really. That subtle caramel note combined with a robust body, that sounds incredible. Is that combination what makes it so prized among connoisseurs, why it's considered exceptionally stylish? Absolutely, I think so. That unique mix of a strong, visually appealing liquor plus those delicate, sweet caramel undertones, that's what truly sets it apart. It offers a complexity that's, well, approachable but still sophisticated, you know? It appealed to people who appreciate a tea with real depth and character, something more than just a basic black tea.
It really sounds like this tea captures the essence of the province's natural beauty, but also its cultural heritage. You mentioned history, 34,000 years of human settlement. That kind of puts enjoying a cup of tea in a different light, doesn't it?
It really does, yeah. Sabrugamuwa's legacy as a land of gems, it sort of translates seamlessly into its prominence in tea. It's a land just rich in history.
Yeah.
I mean, the earliest traces of human settlement in Sri Lanka, dating back 34,000 years, maybe more, were actually found not far from Ratnapura. right there in Sabarigama.
Wow.
And there are legends, too, you know, relating to the ancient Hindu epic, the Ramayana, attached to places in the region. And its history includes, well, a fair bit of warfare and intrigue during the Portuguese period from 1505 to 1658.
And speaking of natural beauty and history, you can't ignore Adam's Peak or Sri Potter. It's the most prominent attraction, surely. That incredible 2,200-meter, what's that, 7,000-foot conical, very symmetrical mountain peak. And at the very top, there's that giant footprint carved into the rock, really intricately decorated, detailed.
That footprint is incredibly significant. It's venerated by Buddhists, Hindus, and Muslims, all three. And its origins are genuinely lost in antiquity. Nobody really knows for sure. It's been a place of pilgrimage for, well, longer than anyone can remember, even though the climb is famously steep and it used to be really quite dangerous. So if you connect this back to the bigger picture, the tea from these estates, it almost seems to distill the essence of this rich, varied culture. Which might seem surprising, actually, given that the district's prominence in the tea industry is more of a 20th century thing, relatively recent.
So you're saying it's not just about the geography and the climate, which are obviously key, but maybe the, I don't know, the very soul of the place, the historical, the cultural depth. It finds its way into the cup somehow.
I think that's a lovely way to put it, yeah.
It's just fascinating how a place with such deep roots, such amazing natural wonders, has also emerged as this major player in the global tea industry. Sabarigamua's importance has really grown, hasn't it? Especially since the markets for Ceylon tea expanded into the Middle East and the former Soviet Union. What was it about Sabarigamua tea specifically that appealed so much to those expanding markets?
That's a great question. Sabarigamua tea's unique characteristics really made it a preferred choice there. It's strong, dark liquor, that robust, full-bodied character. It was ideal for the traditional brewing methods you find in the Middle East, you know, where tea is often brewed strong and enjoyed throughout the day.
Right, makes sense.
And similarly, its versatility and, importantly, its consistent quality appealed to the former Soviet Union markets. They valued reliable, flavorful teas for just, you know, everyday drinking. So it wasn't just about quantity. It was about a specific flavor profile that really resonated with these established tea cultures. So as tea markets keep expanding globally, Sabarigamua really does stand out. It's not just, as we said, a source of exquisite gems anymore. It's also a producer of some of the finest teas in the world, really embodying the essence of Sri Lanka's vibrant, storied landscape.
What an incredible deep dive we've taken through the world of Sabarigamua tea. Really seems clear. This tea is a direct reflection of its unique geography, its diverse climate, and yeah, that profound cultural and historical heritage we talked about. It really is more than just a beverage, isn't it? It's like a taste of a whole storied landscape. So the next time you happen to savor a cup of Sabarigamua tea, maybe you'll be tasting not just, you know, the tea, but centuries of history, the power of a monsoon, the mystique of a land rich in gems and legends. It makes you wonder, what other forgotten stories might this very tea hold if you really knew how to listen?